One of the fastest growing areas of Medicaid spending in New York is the Consumer Directed Personal Assistance Program, which allows for someone to hire and train their own personal caregivers. And while the program is beloved by those who utilize it, Governor Hochul and her predecessor have advanced efforts to slow the spending growth and argue that there is waste to be eliminated. But champions of this initiative argue reforms rolled out by the governor would be detrimental to the delivery of care and instead are pushing what they describe as quote-unquote sensible and measured reforms. To consider what those changes are, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Lindsay Miller, Executive Director of the New York Association on Independent Living. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thank you for having us, David.
And we're also joined by Doug Hovey, CEO of Independent Living, Inc., a consumer-directed advocacy and service organization. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
Well, Lindsay, your group put out a press release a few days ago with reforms proposed for the Consumer-Directed Personal Assistance Program that would, quote-unquote, target the real problems in the system while maintaining the integrity of this valuable program. What are some of those potential reforms?
The New York Association on Independent Living represents independent living centers across New York State who were founding organizations that helped to advocate for, create, and pilot the Consumer-Directed Personal Assistance Program here in New York State several decades ago. Our programs are peer-run, so run by people with disabilities, for people with disabilities, and it's really about supporting people with disabilities in the community to live independently, but they have control over what that looks like. So, you know, we have been involved in this program for decades, and we have watched in recent years, particularly with the introduction of managed long-term care in New York State, real growth in the program, both in the number of fiscal intermediaries, which are the organizations that help consumers administer the program and process payroll checks, et cetera, and support consumers in the program. But in addition to the growth in the number of fiscal intermediaries, also just growth in the program generally. And, you know, certainly we've been concerned about kind of the program getting away from the roots and some of the fiscal intermediaries not administering the program as was intended. And we've been bringing this issue to the state for several years and really wanting to work with them as founders of the program to help bring it back to its roots and really restore integrity of the program. You know, the Department of Health has the administrative authority to address some of the issues, which would include cracking down on some of the unsavory marketing techniques and practices, some of the aggressive enrollment that's really just about making it a volume business in the managed care system, as opposed to a service that supports people with disabilities, as well as just not really supporting people with disabilities and making it more of a traditional home care as opposed to a program that helps people with disabilities take control over the service.
Well, in terms of opportunities for reform, what about the for-profit fiscal intermediaries and the work that they've taken on and their proliferation? Is that an area that could be changed, especially when considered the alternative nonprofit model?
Organizations that originally developed the Consumer-Directed Personal Assistance Program in New York State, first, we developed this for people that have very significant disabilities and need that level of support in their homes to get out of bed, to get bathed and showered, or to get dressed, to get their meals made. And we started this with maybe around 15 or 20 not-for-profit organizations that were, you know, invested in the philosophy of nothing about us without us. And this was all about providing a critically important service. This was not about developing a Medicaid mill where we're just processing paychecks. In 2012, the state, in an attempt to try to manage costs, they moved this program into the managed care industry. But ever since that time, since 2012, the program has just exploded and has grown exponentially. And that's largely attributable to several for-profit entities that got involved and see the program as nothing more than a revenue generator rather than an important service that people depend on for their life, for their quality of life. As I said, you know, in order to get up every day to live in the community. So we do think that once the for-profits and the insurance company moved in, that's where things started to go awry. So we're really trying to reclaim the program and bring it back to the grassroots. And there are 11 independent living centers in New York State that provide this service of fiscal intermediary. Collectively, we serve around 6,000 people. But again, with the insurance industries and the bad actor not-for-profits, the program is reportedly serving over 200,000 people today. So that's a real concern. This exponential growth is something that we need to get under control. And we want to partner with the governor and the legislature to implement some real meaningful strategies. One strategy that they're offering at this point is to eliminate all of the fiscal intermediaries and just have one in the state. But that would not be effective at all because, as we know, home care and healthcare services are delivered locally with local support. If we were to have just one fiscal intermediary, it would really lose the essence of the program and the support methods that we use today in the local communities.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. We're talking about the state's consumer-directed personal assistance program, and our guests are Lindsay Miller, Executive Director of the New York Association on Independent Living, and Doug Hovey, CEO of Independent Living, Inc. So is there a sweet spot when it comes to the number of fiscal intermediaries, or as opposed to defining a number, should the state be defining more about their operations and setting stricter guardrails for how they operate?
We think that people should have choice of who their fiscal intermediary is. So we would, you know, suggest that no fewer than two fiscal intermediaries per county. And if you look at New York City, because of the demographics, you might be talking about five or six per county or more. But I think we could get this into a manageable number. Maybe it's 150. Today, I believe there's closer to 600. That's not necessary.
One of the things we had advocated for and the state started to implement was an authorization process, which would be a mechanism to identify fiscal intermediaries that would continue to operate based on, you know, principles and making sure that they're administering the program properly and that they're meeting all of their legal obligations. That was the proposal that the governor again put forward in her 30-day budget amendments this year. So kind of revisiting an authorization process that the state had abandoned several years ago. And she seems to be abandoning it again and looking to this one FI model, which is really unfortunate and certainly not the right direction for New York State.
If the state was to embrace the ideas that your group is advancing, Lindsay, what would be the fiscal impact? Is this just about slowing the rate of growth, or do you think that the state could actually spend less on consumer-directed personal assistance programs?
Lessening the number of fiscal intermediaries would bring some savings to the state. In addition, I think, as Doug mentioned, you know, the introduction of the managed care system has really helped balloon the cost because you have providers out there that are really just seeking the low hour individuals who don't need a lot of service. But then when you bring them into the system and there's a capitated rate associated with them, regardless of the level of service, you know, the costs are exponential. So certainly some changes, we've been advocating for some changes to the system as a whole in terms of removing the home care system from the managed care environment to help control costs. And then certainly some reforms associated with the number of FIs, but also making sure that the FIs that are removed from the program are the ones that are not administering it properly and are most definitely contributing to the increased costs in the program.
As this conversation has unfurled over now years at the Capitol, what sort of engagement have you had with the second floor? Have the governors, whether it was Andrew Cuomo or now Kathy Hochul, have they been receptive to the consumer-directed personal assistance program advocacy groups like yourself and the position that you make in terms of how it's best to be run?
You know, we have had a lot of interactive communication with the governor's office on a number of variety of different disability-related issues, and we're really grateful for the relationship that we've built over the last couple of years. However, related to the consumer-directed home care program, We've had very little direct communication with the executive and her staff. In fact, we want nothing more than to align ourselves and work together with the governor and the commissioner of the Department of Health and others to really figure out what the right strategies are. We think right now that some of the strategies they're promoting are more knee-jerk reactions in an attempt to get things under control, but we're concerned about denaturing the entire system and disrupting the services that people so desperately need, rather than strategically and surgically addressing the bad actors and some of the, you know, the large for-profits who are churning the Medicaid dollar rather than seeing it as an important service.
I do think there's been some strong consensus among all parties in terms of the independent living communities' role and history in the program, and that, you know, we certainly are performing with integrity. But unfortunately, as Doug mentioned, it just seems like the strategy has been to take these kind of shotgun approaches that are just looking at cutting costs at the expense of the longstanding and good providers as well as consumers.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Doug Hovey. He is the CEO of Independent Living, Inc. Doug, thanks so much for making the time.
Thank you.
And we've also been talking with Lindsay Miller. She is the executive director of the New York Association on Independent Living. Lindsay, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capital Pressroom is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.